Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a 13-5 loss to the Guardians. This was an ugly one. Do we want to talk about this one? I think there's a few things that we can note, a few things we can highlight, but could we just sum it up like this? Pitching, terrible offense, way too little too late in this one. There's clearly a lot more to it than that. But if you want the short version, there it is. We're going to go ahead and we're going to get started, get into all of the details, the highlights, the box score, the key moments in the game. It wasn't pretty at times. Let me put it to you that way. Yes, I know it looks like the Rangers offense somewhat came to play today. Spoiler alert, they really did not. The Rangers offense put up some pity runs, I'll call it, at the end of the game. And I'm just not pleased overall with really anything that was going on in the game tonight. There's a couple of guys that had decent nights box score wise, but I can't say I walk away with a ton of positives in tonight's game. Baseball Network, what's up? Obviously, I'll keep it PG, but I do appreciate when y'all can say it for me. Yeah, tonight was a complete mess. Absolutely. It most certainly was. And the Rangers have an opportunity. I think the crazy thing is it always feels so terrible after losses like this, but the reality is the Rangers have a chance to win a series tomorrow, and they very well could. Cody Bradford on the bump. Cody Bradford has been outstanding. I really do feel like regardless of what happened tonight, the game gets away from them, and you kind of start looking ahead to tomorrow's game, to Sunday's game, and you've got a bullpen that's rested, that's ready to go. I think Robertson, Yates, good day off for them. Hopefully they will be a factor tomorrow. I think those are the positives there. I do think that there's a few guys we got to lock in on tonight, and we're going to go through the box score. I can't say I have a huge, big lead tonight for the show. I will say this. Let me just go kind of off the cuff here. I think the John Gray start is very, very concerning. John Gray has not really been right in his last, I would say, seven starts or so, give or take. I was looking at it the other night. Every game, y'all know, I put out a video before each game. And I go through my system, betting 1 cent for every follower on a Texas Rangers win. And so I kind of preview like the pitching matchup and who might have some good numbers against the opposing pitcher. I cover all that stuff in my short vids. And, you know, honestly, John Gray, I looked at the numbers last seven and didn't feel great about John Gray going into this one. I know we didn't talk about this a lot on the show. We more focused on John Gray's numbers against the Cleveland offense. But John Gray in his last seven games, 5.82 ERA. John Gray in his last 15 games, 5.40 ERA. I mean, this is a guy that I would say was supposed to be, what, probably your three starter? I mean, three starter with a 5.40 ERA in your last 15 games. Not good. I do think it's time to have a discussion about John Gray for 2025. And I know that maybe some of you will think this is overreactive, but I do think that they need to consider moving John Gray to more of a bullpen role next year. I think we've seen with John Gray, him never really be able to finish a full season. There's always been injuries. I don't think we've seen a dominant season from John Gray since he's been in a Rangers uniform. And I know that's hard to do in the major leagues. I'm not trying to pretend like it's easy. But I really would like to see John Gray in the role that he performed in at the highest level in October of 2023, coming out of the bullpen in a hybrid relief role. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, maybe some days he goes a few innings. He kind of eats up some innings for you. Maybe some games you have him in high leverage. I would love to see John Gray make that transition. For me personally, as a fan, I'm just kind of done with the starting pitcher experiment with him. I think they got it right in 2023 in October, and they kind of had to do that because he was coming off of an injury. So I think John Gray, the sweet spot is going to be the bullpen. I do think they can leverage him well. That slider does play. John Gray's slider, it's plus plus. I love his slider. I think in small doses, he can be effective. I do think you drag him out over a 6 or 7 inning game, and he's going to get hit more times than not. Now, yeah, throw him out there against the White Sox, like right before he went on the injured list. And sure, he's going to look amazing. He's going to look like a number one or number two. A lot of pitchers do against the White Sox. And John Gray against the Sox went 7 2/3, gave up one run. So I think we can all possibly, maybe, I don't know, there might be some John Gray apologists in the chat, but I'm ready for them to move him to the pen. And I hope that they go out and pursue some other options for starting pitchers. I know Evo, there's kind of been some drama, if you will, surrounding Evo and will he be returning to Texas. I'm in a couple of different chats on Facebook and on some other socials, and I know that the big rumor seems to be, at least the common theme, is, you know, Evo being from Houston, would he go to the dark side, maybe join the Astros? I don't know. And then you got that story coming out. I don't know. I think I talked about it on the live maybe a few nights ago. Evo kind of saying in so many words, I got to see if Texas is trying to win baseball games in 2025. And I'm putting words in his mouth, but basically he did say he wants to see that the team is still trying to win games in 2025 and beyond. And I think that's fair. I think Houston is definitely going to be competitive next year to an extent. I don't think they're falling off a cliff. I do think that they have a pretty small window, but I would absolutely hate to see Evo wear an Astros uniform. That'd be painful to watch. And there's been some painful Rangers moments. Hambone going to LA was painful for me. I think Evo going to Houston might be more painful than when Josh Hamilton went to the Angels. I love Josh Hamilton. That was my guy. That was one of my favorite players in the early 2000s. When he went to LA, that was like a knife through the heart, at least for me. Evo going to Houston would be about the same, kind of a knife through the heart scenario. I really hope that doesn't happen. He can go to just about any other team. Please don't go to Houston. Let me get to comments here. Is there a bigger post-World Series champion team than the Rangers? I might have to clear up your comment a little bit here, but I do appreciate it. Look, I do think in terms of post, you know, championship seasons, whatever you want to call it, I do think there's been teams that have done worse than the Rangers. The Boston Red Sox come to mind a few years ago. You remember Kinsler and Moreland got the ring. And then I'm pretty sure Boston just fell off a cliff right after that in the next season. So I don't think it's unprecedented what's happening to the Rangers by any means. I do think teams win a World Series in the next year. They're definitely not as good. Look at all of Bochy's 2010s teams. I mean, a lot of those teams, World Series, missed the playoffs. World Series, missed the playoffs. Boch did it like three different times, win a World Series, and then miss the playoffs. I mean, it does happen. It's unfortunate. It sucks. You would love to see a team be competitive after winning the World Series and have a chance to really defend the title. And it is what it is. The Rangers not having an outstanding year. At this point, you just like to see them finish 2024 strong, head into 2025 with some positives, with a little bit of momentum. Maybe play spoiler, make it interesting down the stretch. Let me keep going here. Gray's first time back in a while. You know, look, that might play into it. I definitely think that argument can be made for Gray in defense of Gray. I do think, though, when you consider last seven, last 15 starts, 5+ ERA, I think we can say there's a little bit of a trend here. It's not just the injury. He has not been sharp over the last 15, last seven games. For me, I'm ready for the starter, John Gray, to be done. I'm ready for him to head to the pen, shore up the bullpen a little bit. We'll very well be missing some guys next year that are on expiring deals. I think he'd be a nice piece in the bullpen. Of course, you can spot start him, but I'm ready for John Gray to no longer be a starter. I'd really love to see them move him into that hybrid relief role that we've been talking about. John, you read my mind here. No shutdown innings tonight. Yeah, 2 4-run innings back-to-back. It was over in the third. I totally agree. And you go to the box score tonight, and you know, definitely a few things catch my eye, but the lack of a shutdown inning, no doubt. So Rangers draw first blood in the top of the first. And really, for me, kind of a carbon copy of a couple of games ago. You get the bases loaded in the first inning. You're able to squeak across a run, and then you have two outs, bases loaded. You know, and then you have Wyatt Langford getting out, not able to produce in that spot. And Wyatt did have a nice night tonight. Look, I've got to be honest with you. When you have games like Wyatt did tonight in the middle of a really, really bad game, for me, it doesn't hit the same, if that makes sense. for me, I think more about Wyatt's missed opportunity with the bases loaded in the top of the first than anything else. And I'm not trying to be a hater on Wyatt. I'm not trying to dog on him at all, but I'm just telling you what sticks out more to me than the fact that Wyatt got, what, three hits tonight? What sticks out more is the one hit that he didn't get in the first inning when it really mattered. I mean, that was the game right there for me, an opportunity to bust it wide open. You hit one in the gap there, you hit a base knock, it's 3-0 quickly. So I'm glad Wyatt got a few hits tonight. I'm definitely not trying to hate on him, rain on the parade, whatever you want to call it. But for me, Wyatt's biggest at-bat was in the first inning, and it didn't work out. And that was a huge moment in the game. You had Lively on the ropes. He had thrown 30-plus pitches in the first inning. You get to him there. Wyatt gets a base knock there, drives in two, or a gapper, drives in three, clears the bases. That might be game over for the Rangers. And that is something that I've said over and over. The Rangers have to be better at. You've got to be able to bust the game wide open when you get an opportunity. Rangers had one in the top of the first tonight, and it didn't happen. So, look, glad that he's able to bounce back. At that point, the game's over, though. The three hits that Wyatt got tonight, game is over. By the time dude gets all three of those, I really feel like the moment was in that first inning. Yeah, Baseball Network agreed. Got to play well in the rubber match. I think Cody Bradford, having him on the bump, we're going to preview the game tomorrow in more detail. But having him on the bump, I think, will be very helpful. I'll have to look at the opposing starter for the Guardians, but I got to feel good anytime Cody Bradford's taking the baseball in 2024. He's been very, very solid for the Rangers. Probably one of the more solid starting pitchers. I'd say probably top three easily. So I'm looking forward to the Bradford start tomorrow. Probably good to just flesh this one out, but there's a few other things I think that are notable here. Yeah, I don't know when the multi-homer games are going to come for Langford. I do think this year is going to be a year of tweaks with Wyatt. I think he's definitely going to have to do some work in the offseason, improve in a couple of different areas. I think the Rangers as a whole are going to have to do that. The pop-ups, you know, the approach at the plate, we talked about that a lot last night. I do think the Rangers have some work to do, no doubt, in those two areas. Getting under the baseball way too much and the aggressiveness at the plate. I'd like to see guys not named Corey Seager be a little bit more disciplined up there. Let me go here. John says Anderson was horrific. I don't know how you continue to have Anderson be a guy that you utilize in any kind of role on the team. I really don't know why they kept Grant Anderson instead of Jonathan Hernandez. That to me is one of the weirdest moves that they made all season, hanging on to Grant Anderson and dumping Jonathan Hernandez. Really don't get that move at all. But here we are. I don't think Grant Anderson is going to be a long-term piece. At this point, I think he's a guy they're using to eat up innings. But Anderson was horrific. Agreed. Great, great way to describe it. Pennington, too, wild. Kelly losing his mind behind the plate. The couple of pass balls, that was just the weirdest thing. But it was totally on cue for how the game was going. But that whole scenario with Carson Kelly, back-to-back pass balls? I mean, look. That's what happens when you don't have the Gold Glover back there behind the dish, Jonah Heim. You're obviously using Kelly for his bat and what he can do offensively, but you don't feel like Jonah probably makes those mistakes today. Again, did those pass balls like cost the Rangers the game? Probably not. The game was probably over regardless anyways, but just like a kick while you're down. Like, okay, we're losing this badly and we can't catch a baseball behind home plate? I mean, come on now. I don't know what was going on there. Don't know if anybody caught a post-game interview question or anything like that. Like, what was going on? You know, I have no idea if it was like a cross-up or what, but that was ugly. And an ugly moment in an ugly game. A kick while you're down, no doubt. Yep, Gray definitely, I think, needs to be moved to the pen. John, got to agree with you there. Natalie says, Rocker and Leiter need to be in the rotation. Look, I don't know if I'm on the Rocker train quite yet, y'all. And I'm not saying I don't like him, don't think he's going to be able to hack it in the bigs. I'm just saying I don't really think that you can at this point say Rocker is going to be killing it in the major leagues. He dominated Double-A Frisco. I definitely think he did his job in that regard. I don't think you can take what he did in Double-A and say, yeah, he definitely is going to be an ace up in the big league. So for me, I want to see more consistency. I want to see him have a nice ending to the Triple-A season at Round Rock. And then I'd like to see him come out and have a nice spring before I jump the gun on promoting Kumar Rocker, or at least lobbying for him to be promoted to the starting rotation next year. Leiter, same thing for me. I'm definitely still hopeful that Leiter becomes a big piece for us in the rotation, but I got to be honest, I don't feel good about him right now, regardless of what he's done in AAA. We've seen this from Leiter. Before one of his call-ups earlier in the year, Leiter struck out 10 dudes. We called him up and the dude got lit up. So the 9900, the velocity, I really do hope that it all works out with Jack Leiter. He's a first-round draft pick. Anytime you draft a guy first round, you want them so badly to pan out. It just doesn't always happen. I really hope that Leiter is not one of those quadruple A guys that can crush it in triple and then gets promoted and just can't hack it. I think he's got a long runway. They're going to try to do their best to give him time being the number one pick. But y'all, there's nothing that Jack Leiter has done in the big leagues to give you a lot of confidence. You can nitpick, yeah, the fastball and this one at bat against Detroit back in May or April, that showed you the potential. I mean, we could nitpick his pitches in the major leagues, but the bottom line is the dude got lit up in both starts. And yes, he's going back down to AAA and doing well, but I can't say right now I feel great about him joining the rotation. I think they actually have a great plan for him. Bring him up, use him out of the bullpen in September, get him acclimated to the big leagues, and then you do a little reset in the offseason, spring training, have him start some games, and you see where you're at. I do think that if they don't go out and get some starting pitching, especially if a guy like Evo leaves, maybe you have Heaney leave as well, now you're thinking about maybe needing to pull some of those guys up. Just depends on what the Rangers are going to be doing with the pocketbook, if you will, in the offseason. Are they going to be spending some money or not? And I would think that you would want to prioritize the offense, but I'm sure they'll be looking for some good deals, maybe some one-year deals like they did this year with Lorenzen and some of the other guys in the bullpen. But I got to be honest, I'm a little bit hesitant to pump up the minor league guys yet, although I like what I see from Kumar Rocker especially. Aaron, what's up, man? Sorry I took a little bit to get to your comment, but says Gray did not look confident today at all, even walking to the mound. Got to be a frustrating day for him. And John Gray had a few moments in this game where it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like the moment for me where you just knew this wasn't going to be a good start for him was you walk the 9-hole hitter to get to Stephen Kwan, and Stephen Kwan promptly doubles in two runs. I think that was what in the second inning, the bottom of the second inning. So bottom of the second inning, leadoff single, you get two quick outs, then you walk the 9-hole hitter. And that was like a pretty pitch heavy at bat. Only five pitches. I take that back. So that makes it worse. Not even really a competitive at bat from John Gray. Ball one, strike one, and then three straight balls to walk the 9-hole hitter. And then Stephen Kwan, who actually was in a little bit of a slump coming into this one, comes up and doubles. John Gray was doing stuff like that all game long. So I agree, just not a good start at all from Gray. I would really like to see him move to the pen. I'll keep going here. Did I ever do any research on the hitting analyst that didn't come back from last year? No, I didn't. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. But I'm going to see if I can pull up anything while we're talking about everything else related Rangers baseball today. Look, not seeing a whole lot come up on him as I just looked through some of the headlines. I'll go to the news articles and see if maybe that's making a difference. But I don't know. I really would like to see the Rangers tweak some things in the offseason when it comes to the approach at the plate. They've got some great hitters. It really went downhill this year. It really fell off a cliff. I feel like the 2023 team was just so much better offensively. And it is almost so bad that you say to yourself, this can't just be dumb luck. It's kind of like how I feel about the pitching injuries. It can't just be dumb luck at this point that the offense is this inept at times. And so maybe the hitting analyst leaving last year, maybe it is something. Just like maybe all these pitching injuries are not just dumb luck, not just coincidence. There's something systematically, organizationally going on that needs to be fixed. I would probably tend to go that way in terms of my thought process, but who knows? I do think something's got to change. The hitting approaches have to change, And on the other side, with pitching, the health, the recovery, the prevention of injuries, they need to tweak some things there. What's up, man? Thanks so much for tuning in. Look, it's crazy how they go from world champion to not making the playoffs. And Bruce Bochy failed the Rangers this year. I think that ultimately the players play, and there are things I think we can nitpick about Bruce Bochy, but these are World Series championship players. I think that at some point you do have to put, I would put more blame on the players not producing than Bochy, but I don't think this was Bochy's best year. Let me put it to you that way. But I blame the players more than I blame Bochy. The players are the ones that are out there playing. They're the ones out there that are missing the baseball up at the plate, kicking it around out in the field, the ones that are walking people. I mean, look, that is my two cents. But Bochy, I do think, has had some head-scratching moves this year. Like, he has. So I'm not going to sit around. Bochy's done an amazing job, and the players just can't produce. Like, there's been some head-scratchers from Boch this year. We've talked about him on the show. I don't think that Boch is a majority of the problem. I think the players are a majority of the problem, and they didn't play well this year. That is a crazy stat. Baseball Network brings up something that we were talking about a few minutes back. Didn't come out and say it this directly, though, so I'm glad that you did. Real stat, Bochy has never made the postseason after winning a pennant ever. I don't know what it is. I mean, it is weird. What is it that makes the teams that he manages not do well in the season after? Again, another pointed question that would be great to ask him. Like, Boch, look, I'm sure you've done some reflection. I'm sure you've sat back and thought about this. Why do your teams not do well the season after winning a World Series championship? Because, look, not every team falls off a cliff after winning it all the next year. And there's a lot of teams that at least make the playoffs the next year. So I don't know if he's answered that question or not. But for me, I would love to see what he says. Hopefully he'd be willing to give at least somewhat of an honest reflection, not just kind of a brush off like, you know, a lot of coaches do at times. Morgan, what's up, man? Why was Gray in the lineup anyway? Well, the Rangers are short on pitching right now. I mean, DeGrom's not back. Mally's on the IL. They don't have a whole lot of options. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that Gray is in the lineup, is in the rotation. But next year, I think you have to start making plans for him not to be. Here's another one. And this is an interesting comp here. No disrespect, but the 23 Rangers remind me of the 2019 Nats, and both teams had career seasons from everyone. But next year, injuries and losses destroyed the team. It is interesting. Now, in the year after the 2019 Nats won it all against the Astros, and that is one of my favorite World Series for obvious reasons, behind, obviously, 2023. But I wonder, was that the year Rendon left, though? So they lose Rendon, right, in 2020. He goes to the Angels. I think I have that right. I think that World Series year was a contract year for Rendon. So you got to also throw in COVID hits, right? 2020, that was a weird season. So I actually think you can maybe give the Nats in 2019 more of a pass than you can the Rangers this year. I mean, the Nats lost a big man to free agency. They had COVID going on, so it was a shortened season. So I probably hold it against the Nats a little bit less than I do the Rangers, if I'm being completely honest. But I do remember they had the Strasburg injury 2020. I think Strasburg was hurt after just killing it in 2019, Steven Strasburg. Then you had Corbin. Wasn't Corbin hurt too? I know he was kind of a big piece for the Nats back then. So look, I do agree. I think there are some interesting comps, but I think at the end of the day, the COVID season messed everybody up. I don't think that was a super traditional year for anybody. So you can actually probably hold it against the Nats in 2019 a little less for falling off a cliff in comparison to the Rangers. Now, we talked a lot about the game today and just different frustrating moments. I think you go up and down the bullpen, and nobody was really sharp tonight. You know, Dane Dunning gives up a couple of hits, gives up a run. He's another guy. I mean, I know in those chats that I referenced earlier, somebody mentioned Dane Dunning returning to the starting rotation next year. That's the last thing I want to see. I don't want to see Dane anywhere near the starting rotation either. I don't want to see it. I want to see them go DeGrom. I hope they get Evo back. I'm going to assume they find a way to get Evo back. I want to see DeGrom, Evo, Bradford as my 1-2-3. I want to see Mally in the fourth starting spot. And I think it's open audition from that point who you want to fill out that five spot. I think you could easily go get a guy in free agency. Maybe you look at a guy like Jack Leiter. I think the long, long shot in the Rangers org would be a guy like Rocker. But I think you go out and get a free agent, fifth man in the rotation. And of course, maybe you go get a sixth guy as well that is able to make the spot starts and give guys rest. But I don't want to see Dunning or Gray in the rotation next year. I think we've seen them get a rotation spot back-to-back seasons now, and we've seen what Dane Dunning and we've seen what John Gray have done with those opportunities. They have flashes. Dane Dunning looked great at the beginning of this year. John Gray looked great at the beginning of this year. But what you see with those guys is they get injured over the course of the season, both of them, and as the season wears on, so do they. And so for me, I'd like to see both of them focus on being guys in the bullpen, what I call hybrid relievers. They can eat up innings. They can come in and match up in big moments in the game if needed, especially before the eighth and ninth innings. That would be my preference for both of those guys. John says, celebrating the entire time in a shortened offseason instead of training or working towards being competitive again. I feel like that could be some of our problem. It's baffling. And you guys know I've tried to be careful with coming down on the Rangers too much because I don't know what each Texas Rangers player was doing in the offseason. Clearly, there was some fun to be had. There were celebrations. There was media ops. Clearly, they were doing stuff like that. I don't want to be totally unfair because I know that there are some grinders on that team. Marcus Semien, guys that are just locked in the entire time. But I do think that there were some guys that probably did not have their typical offseason. Maybe lightened up the load a little bit after a long, long season all the way through into November. But for me, I think the Rangers and the front office, and you know, I don't know, I don't think you can blame CY completely because he doesn't have full access to the Davis checkbook, but I think the Rangers just rested on their laurels a little too much. They rested on the championship, admired the trophy, and they decided to just trot out the same dudes. You lost Garver. They were hopeful that they could get a few guys in free agency that would end up hitting on those one-year deals. Some of that actually did happen, but here's the biggest gamble that didn't work out. I've said this, it's been a while, but I'll say it again. The biggest gamble for the Rangers that didn't work out this year, you gambled that Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter were going to produce this year on a consistent basis. You gambled that both of those guys were going to be top five, top six order producers. And they weren't. Wyatt Langford had moments. He has had moments this year, but he has not been what the Rangers thought that he was going to be this year. And Evan Carter, of course, not a lot needs to be said about him. They had Evan Carter hitting in the three spot, just like in the playoffs. Evan Carter was the three-hole hitter coming into this season. So it was a huge gamble to expect that Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford were going to meaningfully contribute all season long. And I was on the train. I was sipping the Kool-Aid. I mean, I was absolutely on that page. I really thought Wyatt was going to pop. I thought Evan would continue to be solid for us out in the outfield. Maybe not do exactly what he did all September and October in 23. But look, counting on those guys, what I'm trying to say in so many words, it didn't like shock me and it didn't seem like a bad idea at the time. But looking back, it was. It was a huge gamble. The Rangers didn't add any bats because of it. And it's a big reason why the Rangers did not have a successful title defense year. Let me keep going. You got to admit, if Astros pitcher Fromber has a good game in either game two or game six, yeah, probably not. But I mean, we could play that game all day long. Like, you know, what if Jose Leclerc doesn't give up a three-run bomb to Jose Altuve in game five? Like, you know, we can play the had a bad game, didn't have a bad game. We can do that all night long. The reality is, Fromber didn't have a good game in either of those, and the Rangers won Game 6 and Game 7 in Houston. And I think we've talked about this enough on the show, but look, I'm happy to talk about this every show if I have to. The people, and I'm not saying, Willard, I'm not saying that you feel this way, but anybody that tries to tell you that the Rangers got lucky, it was a fluke, the Rangers ran through a freaking gauntlet in 2023 to win the World Series. There's a lot of talk about, you know, NFL, it's like this, NBA playoffs, we talk about cupcake schedules like the Boston Celtics, for example. And no, this is not me being salty, but a lot of people, a lot of NBA fans were saying the Celtics this year had an incredibly easy run on their way to the finals against the Mavericks. You know, they had guys getting injured on the teams that they were playing, like big time guys. And I know even like when the Eagles played the Chiefs a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl, the Eagles had like a super easy road to the Super Bowl. You had the Giants. Then they played another team that was meh. Then, you know, they ended up playing the Niners and Brock Purdy gets hurt. Look, that to me is a lot more cupcake. But what we're talking about with the Rangers on the road in every single series, they didn't have home field advantage in one series. You played the Rays, the Orioles, the Astros, and then you had to play a Diamondbacks team that, no, maybe wasn't the top team in the NL all season long, but defeated the Phillies and the Dodgers. I mean, I don't think the Diamondbacks were a fluke either. So I'll say this every single time it comes up. The Rangers earned every bit of that 2023 trophy. They did. And there is no fluke to it. There is absolutely no flukiness to that series at all. That was a legitimate run, and the Rangers had to go through a ringer to get where they got, winning it all. So I don't take anything away from them. There was no luck involved. They went on a tear and got hot at just the right time, and here they are. Look, I don't think Houston, I got to disagree. I don't think Houston is going to be doing much in the postseason. Would it shock me if they made it to the ALCS? No. Do I think that they're winning it all? No, I don't think Houston is winning it all. The pitching isn't good enough. The pitching's not good enough. Your best pitcher is Justin Verlander. I mean, that I think there's some arguments there. The Astros have probably two starters that I don't even feel like you feel super comfortable with at this point. So I don't think Houston personally has enough right now to make it all the way through to a World Series run. Hey, if they prove me wrong, they prove me wrong. But I think there's other teams that are definitely more stocked up and have a better shot just looking at the rosters and the pitching than the Astros do at this point. I mean, we remember the Astros were a pretty bad team at the start of this year. I think we've seen the Astros can be a pretty bad baseball team at times. They're dropping games right now. Yes, they definitely can get hot. They can go on runs. I don't think they have what it takes to make it all the way and win the whole thing. I think personally, it's going to be Orioles. I think it's going to be the Dodgers on the other side. I think Orioles versus Dodgers. I've made that prediction a few different times. I can't see the Astros making it all the way. But we'll see what happens. We shall see. Let me keep going here. So to tie up this one and just go final with the game from today, a few other notable stats. Young, Kelly, Jankowski, Langford, of course, all runners left in scoring position with two outs. 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position as a team, 6 left on base. Nate Lowe with a fielding error today. That was in the early innings, right? I think it was in that second inning, actually. So look, another game with an error. I think Seager had the throwing error yesterday. Be nice to not see a 1 next to the Rangers in the E column every single game. I think they've got to clean up a few things defensively. But beyond that, I think we got to go ahead and take a look at tomorrow. So the Rangers tomorrow, rubber match, an opportunity to win a series. I mean, opportunity to win a second straight series. I mean, look, that's, I think, what you have to dwell on after a game like tonight. Flush this one and go win a series tomorrow. And the Rangers starters for tomorrow looks like Bradford versus Boyd. Boyd has an 0-0 record, 3.38 ERA, has started 2 games for the Guardians so far, and 10 innings pitched, 11 innings pitched. Last time out against the Yankees, he went 5 1/3 with 3 earned runs, 4 walks. Before that, 5 1/3 with 1 earned run against the Cubs, and that's pretty much it for Boyd. So look, lefty, so take that and do with it what you will. Rangers have had their struggles against lefties this year. So maybe we'll see Robbie Grossman tomorrow. I think it could be a Robbie Grossman day. I definitely feel like the Rangers have a solid opportunity, though, with Cody Bradford. I absolutely feel like tomorrow is a winnable game for them. Didn't feel great with John Gray on the bump today. I know I didn't harp on that last night, but I absolutely feel good about the Rangers' chances tomorrow going up against Matthew Boyd with Cody Bradford on the bump. You had a little bit of an off day today. Hopefully the Rangers can go out, lock in, get a series win, and then head to Chicago for a three-game set, I believe, with the White Sox after the off day. So Monday will be an off day for the Rangers. So would be nice to go into that off day with a dub. But let's go ahead and check out the preview on each side. So here we go. We've got, first of all, Texas against Boyd. Simeon is 2 for 9 with the home run. Seager 1 for 5 with the home run. Robbie Grossman, 276 average, 29 ABs with 2 bombs against Boyd. So, look, I think this is maybe from when Boyd was with the Tigers, if I'm not mistaken. So, Grossman, I think you'll probably see tomorrow. Don't know who's going to be getting the day off. But other numbers, Nate Lowe, 1 for 4 against Boyd. Leody, who I don't think we'll see tomorrow since it's a lefty. He is 2 for 3, though, but Leody has been sitting against the lefties of late. So, I'd imagine probably Leody sits and Grossman plays. Jonah Heim, 0 for 3. Adolis, 0 for 3. And then on the other side, against Cody Bradford. Not a lot of guys with big-time ABs. The highest is Brennan, the right fielder, with 4 ABs. He's 1 for 4. Freeman, the center fielder, 1 for 2. Fry, the catcher, 1 for 2. Jimenez, 1 for 3. Kwan, 2 for 3. Naylor, the first baseman, not the catcher, he is 2 for 3. Jose Ramirez, 1 for 3 with the homer. Lane Thomas, 0 for 3. So kind of a mixed bag and a super small sample size, but the numbers I do like for Bradford, in Cody Bradford's last 7 games, 3.55 ERA. Of course, the ERA 3.56 on the season. And Cody, his last 2 starts, 7 innings pitched, 3 earned runs against Pittsburgh, 6 innings, 2 earned runs against the Twins, 5 innings, 1 earned run against New York. So Cody Bradford has been in a groove of late, and I really feel like he's going to come out and give us a quality start tomorrow. I think it helps that he's going up against some lefties. Naylor, you also got Jose Ramirez. So he's going up against some lefties. I think that the advantage is absolutely for the Rangers tomorrow. Don't know if the Rangers are going to be favored. I'm actually kind of curious to see that. But I think the Rangers have a great shot at winning tomorrow's game and taking the series before that off day. Let me keep going. Willard, you got to be an Astros fan, buddy. By the way, Astros fans, I wish that I could go back to last year, but Astros fans literally say this almost every year. They said it when we were going to play them in the ALCS. Look how that turned out. Astros couldn't even beat the Rangers last year. So I have no idea where the confidence is coming from unless you're just an Astros fan. I really have no idea where that'd be coming from. Astros were a terrible team at the beginning of 2024, and they were healthier at the beginning of 2024. They really don't have an ace. I think maybe you could make an argument, one or two, but Astros, I could see them flaming out in the first round. I really think that they might make it past first round, maybe to the ALCS. I don't know. I would be willing to bet heavily against the Astros to win a World Series. But if they prove me wrong, they prove me wrong. We beat them last year. That's really all I care about. Will Langford play center tomorrow? I don't know. That makes sense because Grossman is probably going to be playing for Leody. Wyatt looked a little bit interesting out there in left field tonight. I think that they're going to need to do some tweaking with the defense. I really feel like they're going to have to make some adjustments with him. He's got speed, so he's got the raw ability. But I got to say, I felt a little less sure of Wyatt defensively taking over center field. If that is potentially a long-term plan, I still think Evan Carter is probably the more long-term option there. But I got to say, Wyatt, I think, has some things to work out. It's tough going from college ball to MLB pretty much right away. I think that Wyatt can get better. I don't think you scrap the experiment. Not that it's even an experiment, but I don't think you panic right now. That's a better way to put it. But I think Wyatt had a pretty rough game. The line drive coming right at him that he totally whiffed on, bobbling the ball around out there. He has kind of an interesting arm angle, too. I know I'm getting a little bit picky with him, but I wouldn't be surprised if they work on his arm slot a little bit, just where he releases the baseball. I feel like it's a little bit low for being an outfielder. Outfielders, generally, you want to come as over the top as you can. I know that this is little stuff that maybe most people aren't caring about or paying attention to, but I do think there are some tweaks to be made with Wyatt Langford defensively. I think the bat is going to keep getting better, but I think that they are going to have to work on a few things with him in the offseason. How many multi-homer games did Garcia have last year? Because it's just one this year. Felt like not double digits, but close to maybe like the 8 or 9 range. I'm totally guessing right now. I'd be really surprised if it was double digits, but maybe it was. I'm not sure. That'd be something that I would have to look up and try and sift through all the game logs from 2023. I can see if I can do it. No promises, but I'll see if I can pull up his 2023 game log and do a quick skim for you. Let me go to Baseball Network, though. Here, the Astros fans have to have plastic bins in Minute Maid Park now so they can't cheat with the metal bins. Look, I don't think any Rangers fan is ever going to let Houston live down the Trash Throw scandal. I mean, I surely won't. That 2017 World Series, to me, totally a fake. I'm not in any way, shape, or form giving them that World Series. I think the Dodgers took them to a Game 7 while they were cheating. Feel terrible for Kershaw, Darvish, those guys that just got lit up in that series kind of inexplicably at the time. Now we know, of course, but yeah, that 2017. And then Aaron Judge, wasn't that the Yankees got robbed in that run as well? There was an MVP debate, right? One of the, I think it was somebody on the Astros, maybe won MVP that year. I don't know what it was. There was like a big MVP back and forth because of the cheating too. Look, I know that a lot of this Astros team wasn't even involved with that, but nevertheless, it's just not something the Astros are going to be living down anytime soon. Just like the Patriots don't live down Bill Belichick sending out the coaches to tape the Rams practices and Deflategate and all that stuff. They're never going to live that down. They're just never going to. Same thing with the Astros. Same thing. I really do feel that way. 2023 batting game logs, Adolis Garcia. Let's see what I can pull up here. So multi-home run games. We're scrolling. Not a lot so far. I'm going backwards from October right now, and I haven't found any one multi-home run game in Miami. And that last year was in, I believe, August. Yes, early August. So we've got one. Beyond that, I'm scrolling. I'm in May now. He had one on May 17th against Atlanta. That makes two. He had three against Oakland on April 22nd. So that's three multi-home run games. So look, only three multi-home run games for Adolis Garcia last year. Only three. So there you go. There's a little quick research for you, Natalie. But only three. So look, he isn't too far off from last year's total. He was just hitting more home runs last year and hitting better in general in 2023. I went to a Mexican shop. They had a metal Astros sign. I went up and banged on it and sent it to my friend who's an Astros fan. That's great. I love that. There's some pretty good social media stuff out there with the Astros and the trash cans. I remember social media was pretty fire after that 2017 scandal really came to light with all of the Astros hate that was coming out. I mean, as a Rangers fan, I loved it. Look, I like playing the Astros. I like the rivalry. Don't like the Astros at all, but I love that we got to play them. Some Rangers fans I know were a little bit scared when we drew the Astros in the ALCS. For me, I loved it because if you end up beating them, which the Rangers did, it's legendary. It's legendary. Absolutely. And the way that they did it last year, even more so legendary. Altuve hits the 3-run bomb off of Leclerc, and then you go back to Houston with your tail between your legs, looking like you're going to drop game 6, and you come out just guns blazing game 6, game 7. Whoa, excuse me. I'm dying. Give me a minute, y'all. Woo! Okay, I think I'm back. Jeez, don't know what happened there. I've been going for about 50 minutes, though, so maybe that's something to do with it. Thanks for hanging in there with me. Yeah, I do. I do feel bad for Altuve, but I do feel like he cheated. He does get a lot of hate, though. A lot of hate for Altuve, no doubt. But I don't know. the buzzer thing, was that a real thing? I'm not so sure. I really do feel like there might have been something to that walk-off home run against Aroldis. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Altuve, I think, is a great player, but nevertheless, he's kind of lumped in with it all, so it is what it is. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's go ahead and let's look at a few things from around the league, and then we are going to wrap things up for today, guys. I better do so before I lose my voice again. I think I just got to sip on the water a little bit more during these, but man, something crazy happened there. Astros did lose today, so that's a beautiful thing. Rangers don't get the win, but at least the Astros don't get the win either. Let me look at a couple other things here. So we had Mariners. Let's check out Mariners. They end up losing as well. So, man, this would have been a nice night to win a game and gain a game on both those teams. I know Rangers are pretty far out of it, but that would have been cool. Standings. We have the Rangers 9.5 out from Houston, 5 games behind the Mariners for second place, 12.5 out of the wild card. And Fangraphs, I don't know what they have us at for our percentage chance to make the playoffs, but it's probably down right around that 0.4, 0.5. Let's see if I can find out here. Fangraphs MLB odds. Let's see what it is real quick. So to make the playoffs, the Rangers have a 0.4% chance. Hey, it's better than like 2 weeks ago somehow. And the Rangers still have a 0.0 chance, a 0.0 chance to win the World Series. So that's not looking good, but making the playoffs 0.4. You're saying there's a chance. Yeah, fun fact. And you know what? If the Rangers can't get a win, at least nobody else in the AL West gets one either. Oh, shoot. All right, y'all. I will probably be back tomorrow live. I know I've been going late. I will try my best to make it back to my usual getting on right after the games are done, but we'll see what happens. Thanks for being flexible. Crazy weekend for me, but I appreciate y'all still tuning in late. And I will say thank you so much before I get off to all the support, everybody that's watching, liking, that's subscribing recently to the channel. I want to say a special thank you. Means a lot. This channel has grown a lot over the past year, especially since I really took the dive into covering the Rangers as much as I have. Really, really appreciate you guys. And I do want to ask humbly, if you are not following, not subscribed to the channel, and you're watching this, whether live or on the replay, please follow, subscribe, hit that notification button, stay up to date anytime we go live or anytime we put out new content. And if you know somebody that loves the Rangers, loves baseball, loves Texas sports, I would love for you to send them my way. Tell them about the channel. Send them one of my lives or one of my short reels. It would mean a lot to me. And beyond that, y'all, hope you have a great rest of your Saturday night and a good Sunday tomorrow. Early game tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. I believe the Rangers are playing in the morning for me. It looks like the start time for tomorrow's game is it 12:30 Texas time? Let me check this out. 12:40 Texas time tomorrow. So that'll be about a 10:40 start for me out here in Vegas. So we'll come at you post-game at some point tomorrow, and we hope you'll join us. And want to say, again, a special thank you to all y'all. Have a great rest of your Saturday and a good Sunday ahead. Hope to see you on the live tomorrow or on the replay or perhaps later on early next week. As I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.